Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 132. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean and Nate, how are you?
Good, and Nate is still our tech engineer?
He is. What'd I say?
I'm still partial to sound engineer.
Chickity chick.
Just saying. Hi, I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm trying to take that in. I thought I was doing you a favor. I thought I was encompassing everything you do for us.
You gave her a promotion with that, right?
Although
I'm very techie.
not ticky-tacky.
But not Trekkie.
Yeah. No, not Trekkie. Not ticky-tacky.
I'm Star Wars.
Ticky-tacky. Huh? Yeah.
Star Wars guy?
Yeah.
Do you like Sound Engineer better? Is it just because it's new, it hasn't grown on you, or do you?
I don't know.
You really don't care. You're not fooling me.
Sound tech and engineer?
No. How about the
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the how about the jack of all trades engineer? How about that? That's a mouthful. I don't want to say that. Nate is your jack of all trades engineer. Yeah,
stay with tech. That makes you happy.
it does make me happy. Thank you very much. Okay.
We just went all around Robin Hood's barn.
You know what? I don't care how you're doing. just joking. You guys doing okay, though?
Yes.
Doing great.
Had a nice little guest chat, right? We dropped next week.
That's right.
With Mr. Austin Lawrence. He was a fantastic guest. You know what we're going to do right now, right? Let's get right to the main part of...
Sorry, Austin.
What do you mean?
And creepy.
We're gonna. Huh?
Some people might not get to the interview after this.
Wait a minute.
Wait, what?
You know, if I wanted to be treated like this, I could just stay at home.
That's fair.
You know, last week I did a riddle. I'm gonna do another riddle. So it's the dad riddle of the show.
Riddle me this.
Riddle you. So here you go, Nate and Sean and creepies out there. What has a ring with no finger? What would have a ring with no finger?
Ring with no finger. Doorbell?
Doorbell? No.
Do you need a finger to push it?
A telephone. You almost got it. I thought Nate was going to come in on the...
The old hamsters were working overtime.
I was thinking
I saw the smoke coming out of the ears.
I went way off course. I was thinking like rings on a tree.
Yeah, that's not bad.
He's thinking,
but,
though.
That's not the answer
always
to the riddle.
Thinking.
Telephone. There you go. That is the dad riddle of the show, and you are welcome. So now, moving on, Sean. What's the first announcements?
You want the first part of the announcements? The absolute first part?
Let me see. Yep.
Read them backwards.
Oh, that'd be fun. Instant replay. Let's see that in instant replay.
Speaking of that, I saw a guy play Eddie Van Halen's Eruption backwards.
Really? How did that go?
He played it backwards and played it forwards so that it played it correctly, but he recorded it backwards.
Wait a minute. He actually played it backwards.
My brain hurts from hearing that.
I thought you meant like
so that when you watch the video, the clock that's behind him is actually moving backwards.
Oh, that made my head hurt to hear.
Yeah,
but
so he didn't play Eruption and then play it backwards. He actually played it on the guitar backwards.
Flipped the video and played it.
That's
in reverse.
Some skill there. Yeah.
Wow.
Eddie,
it hurt my head.
It hurts my head to hear.
Where'd you
it.
See this at? I'm gonna have to check this out. Just what, TikTok or
might have been on Facebook.
Okay, I'll look it up. Eruption backwards.
So backwards.
Right. Okay.
Announcements backwards.
All right. No, I'm not gonna do that because that'll make my head hurt.
That would be something to hear.
We
He can barely do them frontwards.
Exactly. Let's see how this goes, right? We always come together, right? Wednesday nights, normally, typically. That's what we agree upon. We do the guy time, paranormal. We talk about creepy stuff. But the most important thing we can do here is have a mental health community. We all need help here. I'm looking at you, Nate. Family, friends, creepies, everybody out there. So we always want to make sure that you guys are getting help. So you can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also, even right now, Nate, you can also text home to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
I can do it.
Very good. You what?
You can do it.
Do it backwards.
Oh.
About all is family, Mako, our what is that?
That went bad.
That's just the last part, but yeah.
Now I have a headache. Very good. Thank you, Sean. Yes, we want our creepies to be healthy, don't we?
Yes.
We need each other. That's what we were just talking about with Austin. This is the best part of doing this podcast.
You need me, Todd?
I wouldn't go as far as that.
the big imaginary warm hug.
Oh, yeah. I don't like
it's
that.
Implied.
Stuff, Nate.
it's implied, yeah.
I said imaginary.
Yeah, that's still pushing it. I tell you, it's only September, right? September?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we'll be getting to the holidays, and that's when it starts kicking in a little bit. Even more the, you know, sadness, people lonely, missing loved ones and friends that may have passed on, and just everyday life is hard.
I thought you were talking about your lust for hugs.
No.
No. I totally missed
the
mark.
I'm trying to be serious here, and you're
I'm sorry.
It's true, though. We've got September and October, Halloween, the spooky season, and then, man, once Thanksgiving hits and Christmas, and it can be hard. It can be hard for some people.
Turkey.
Yeah. Nate, I'm trying to be serious.
Turkey lurkey. He's trying to be hungry.
Yeah, actually, you have me hungry. I'm like, turkey. Yeah. Reach out to the group, though.
That's right.
And don't be afraid to get professional help, like we said. So you gotta do what you need to do.
They're the professionals.
Yep. And we can only do so much, can't we? Mm-hmm. But, yes, utilize the group as I move this whatever it is.
And plug everything.
That's right.
And there goes the show.
I need to be unplugged. I've had a decent week, but, boy, I have those days. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I just – when I say check out, I don't mean kill myself, but, like, I just want to go to bed and not be bothered and not wake up for about 15 hours, you know? Just
reset.
Reset and then reset from the reset. Man, it's hard. It is hard.
You ever wake up whimpering?
Oh, gosh. I know. Oh, I know. And it's hard.
Whimpering.
I'm not kidding you.
Sucking your thumb, fetal position.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Wait, how do you know, Nate? You have a camera.
Were you there this morning?
Do you guys find yourself being absolutely exhausted? Have nothing planned for the next day, so you're finally like, yes, I can sleep. I'm going to sleep for as long as I can sleep. And still only sleep like 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, happens a lot.
Need to get up, and you're still tired.
But you have
the time to sleep, but your body won't let you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my wife, shout out to her. She lets me sleep in on Saturdays, and I'll get 10, 11, 12, like, and I'm still tired. Like, there's not, if I get 8 hours, 12 hours, or 4 hours, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Still feel tired.
Always tired.
Always heard that
and
sometimes.
And I know it's my poor habit, the diet and, you know, and all that stuff and what I consume, but man, oh man, I'm tired.
I've heard sometimes that too much sleep is just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say
I still
hours,
try to,
8, 9 hours.
To test that theory. But
yeah. And I'm telling you what, though, like, in the mornings I'll go, okay. Here we go. I'm not anticipating a bad day or thinking like, okay, I got to deal with this. Yeah, it's just the day. And I'm like, everything I can, I'm like, okay, I'll count down from 30 seconds and I'll go through. And I'll count down. I'm like, okay, another 30 seconds. And then 20 minutes later, another 30 seconds. And I'm like, it's all I can do is get my feet on the ground to literally lift my head up and gather myself for a minute, you know, to like, here we go. Because once I'm up, I'm up. But I just want to stay in bed, you know? So.
I have that. It's the other end of the day, and I call it the remains of the day. There was a movie with Anthony Hopkins that was, I can't even remember. It's been so long. It's
Silence of the Lambs. I'm just kidding.
Emma Thompson and Anthony Hopkins. It's about a maid and a butler, basically, that are, I think that I want to say that they're falling in love, but it's like they're so busy during the day that they don't have a lot of time for each other. But at the end of the day, that's the remains of the day. Yeah. But I think about that, like I'm in the shower and I'm like, I just don't want to let go of the time because I got to start this all over again tomorrow. And it is, I tell Jenna all the time, I'm like, we're in the remains of the day, and it's sad to me, but it's like, whether it's a good day or a bad day, you just don't want to let that little bit of time that you have left, because you got to wake up. And so, but yeah.
I've been finding that when my alarm goes off in the morning, I grab my phone, I'm like, 3 o'clock. And then I get out of bed.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's hard. It is hard. I mean, gosh, I know I'll speak for all of us, but, We have good lives, and we have, you know, our kids and our wives and our families, and we have friends, and we have this podcast and all that. We got so much going for us. We have houses and cars, but man, I'm telling you what. So I'm very blessed. I'm very appreciative, but boy, it's still hard. Like my gosh, I don't want to deal with you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad that I was talking to a guy. His granddaughter's on my daughter's volleyball team. And what's cool is I met him, I think it was the second game of the year. He is from Speedway, where I went to school.
Yeah.
He's a graduate of 1975. Name's Randy, and very nice guy. And we were talking, and it's just like, you know, we're talking about the schedules and, like, you know, just one thing. I mean, because I told him, I was like, yeah, my wife and I were like, man, you know, just give us a break, you know.
Yeah.
And then she'll say it. I'm like, honey, one day we're going to be like, oh, man, we miss it. You know, we're going to miss it. And then we'll have to wait for grandkids. And that's where he's at. He's at the grand. And he's like, yep. He's like, I'm at the grandkid stage, like where it's like, okay. But he goes, it's all good stuff, but it doesn't end. You know, it's like, I mean, his life is, I'm assuming he's retired, maybe not, but I'm just saying, it's still, there's always something that's, you know.
Always busy.
Always, but yeah, you know, but like I said, it's all good stuff. It's just like, man, it doesn't end. It's like nothing, you know.
No, I wouldn't trade nothing.
No,
I'm not getting the sleep like I normally do, but,
I know.
You know, I got a good job. I got fantastic family and friends and podcast and,
well,
can't complain.
You kind of put it in the wrong order. You got the fantastic podcast, and then you got your family and friends, right?
No particular order.
Yeah, I got you.
They're all first in my life.
I hope people really, though, when they're listening to this, like, I don't want to sound like I'm griping. Like, I'm literally, like, I wouldn't trade anybody, but it's still, we all have, you know, they say, like, you know, even, like, these celebrities and these millionaires, they got problems, too. Like, different problems, but it's hard. It's just, life is hard.
I'm done adulting.
I know. I've had it. I've had it, Nate. It's hard, but that's why we got to just hang in there, right?
Harrison said that they had a team meeting and they were going over film for football, and he said it was going well until our coach started getting mad at us, and then he was mad, but then people started, like, not taking it seriously. Then he got more mad, and I said, welcome to adulthood. I go, this is what happens. Like, we get angry, and then we get angrier when we think we're not being respected, and I'm like,
that's me.
Just, yeah, you know what I mean? No, I know. I feel that way, too. After a while, you just get, what's that?
You don't have time to deal with
stupid
nonsense.
Yeah, everybody else's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see it on social media, the nonsense going around. I'm like,
today.
Why do I allow them to wrap me up. To suck me into this nonsense. Oh, I don't have it. So today I made an actual effort to go, okay. I actually did it last night when I went to bed. I'm like, tomorrow I am not going to get sucked into the political and
social drama
crap. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I am going to focus on, you know, I met with Nate. Shout out to another Nate at the train station to see our facility one more time for our on location. That was something positive. And I'm like, I got my daughter's volleyball podcast night. I'm good. I mean, like, I don't need to see every post to get me, you know, worked up and mad, ticked off, sad, whatever. And I did not do that. So I did not.
Good for you.
I know. That's awesome. But seriously, I'm like, that's.
It's a victory.
Just
it is.
No.
It's a
triumph.
I want to say a small, but not actually a big. Yeah. With me, I watch that stuff all day long. And
just say no.
Put like on the front, just say no, and on the back to social media.
Right. Exactly.
Take a break or something. But no, I hope people
that's healthy
hear us that we're right there with you. You know?
Do you hear what the rock is cooking? You smell what the
rock
is cooking.
I will not.
Sorry, I'm getting tired.
I'm not a rock fan.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Well, no. Yeah.
I mean, I like some of his movies, but
wrestling rock.
Yeah, I didn't like him either.
You didn't like him?
No, I didn't watch. I didn't. That's why I was out of it. No.
I had to laugh at it.
No. But you know, I'm going to tell you right now, though, if you want to spend 20 minutes, half hour, however long you want, and to make watch No Context Dusty. On Instagram, the guy, it's all Dusty Rhodes promos and matches.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And he puts the year, he'll say, like, Dusty Rhodes, doing promo, WCW, 1985. And I'm like, oh, man, that's great. Yeah.
I finished the Hulk Hogan, Joe Rogan interview.
Oh. Yeah, I did too.
I loved it.
It was good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I still haven't seen
it. I love
Flair
old wrestling.
That one. I know. Well, anyway, that's.
Yeah, right.
we love you guys, and yes, we're all in it together, so we feel your pain and we feel your victories at the same time. So
we got some special announcements.
This is all for me reading the first part of the announcements, remember?
Let me see here, Nate.
I'm trying to move this along.
Shut.
Never.
I'm the program director, and I appreciate what you just did.
He's the technical guy.
Shout.
Right?
He's the sound and the editing.
That's right.
I'm the program.
You said
you're not producer.
Tech engineer, right? So
that's right.
Technically, we're running out of time.
No, we're not. We're not doing a mini after this. So, shout outs, special announcement. Shout outs, Nate. Anybody?
No.
Nope. That was a surprise. I was like,
big surprise.
Sean, shout outs.
I'm going to pass this time.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'm always full of it.
Todd, any shout outs? No.
No.
You know what? I'm going to shout out us. Shout out to us. Like
for
Billy Madison. Yeah. Good for us.
Yay for us.
Yay for us. Okay. Hey, I'm going to run down these real quick. A special announcement, Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show. It is Saturday, October 7th from 5 to 9. It's going to be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana. And you can still buy tickets for only $15 at the Eventbrite website or app. We're going to have special guest, fictional author and owner of Anatolian Press, Mr. Micah Campbell. And along with our friend Erin Egnatz, paranormal investigator. She is with Hauntings Around America, and they both have been on our show 2 times each.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some food, merch, prizes, so come out and join us for a night of creeped out fun. That, again, is Saturday, October 7th.
That's right.
It is coming up quickly. Excited about that. And then we have a Erin has the ticket giveaway for her Stark Saloon haunted investigation, good grief, paranormal investigation. That is Saturday, October 21st. So anybody that buys a ticket to our show is automatically enrolled to win a ticket for her investigation. How about that? Now, October 21st, Saturday, from 11 to 5, we will be at our friends Scott and Corey Steenburgen at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It is a year-round Halloween and fall store, and we're going to be out there doing it on location, doing some recording. We'll have some little merch baggies to give out and having a fun time, creepy fun. Don't listen to Nate. They are good people. I know he just goes in with a poor attitude. What do you think, Nate?
I don't know. I've never met him.
You're actually so getting better.
So judgy.
We'll see. They are great people. Trust Sean and I. Mm-hmm. And anyway, again, come out and see us at Greenwood Happy Haunts, Saturday, October 21st from 11 to 5, and then that's all I got for special announcements. So
you're out.
That's it. So now, Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
We just had an amazing guest chat with a new friend of the show, actually, paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Enjoy, creepies.
Hey, creepies. We have a special guest on our show for you guys. His name is Austin Lawrence. He comes to us from Ohio. He is a paranormal investigator. Let's bring on Austin. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are good. I'll let Sean and Nate say hello to you.
Austin, thank you for coming. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hello. It's an honor to talk with you tonight.
Oh, it's an honor to be here.
Well, thanks, y'all. Thanks for coming on and, again, being patient for our little late start tonight. If it wasn't for our darn kids having 1,000 activities, but, hey, that's okay. So let's get right to it, Austin. Give us and our listeners a little, maybe an idea of how you, you know, grew to liking and getting interested in the paranormal stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's a weird thing. I'm starting to believe that some of us are just born weird, right?
Yeah,
because, I like weird. Know,
if you were here, Austin, you'd be looking at me, wouldn't you?
Well, we're all pointing to Sean.
Why you got
to
look at me?
I can look at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, growing up, even like elementary school, you know, the school book fairs, I'm buying all the ghost books. I'm buying, you know, the Loch Ness Monster and all this stuff. And it was just something that I really grew up liking. Had a couple experiences growing up, and then I was lucky enough to grow up in the tax era where now, you know, seeing these quote-unquote normal average people on TV doing it, it's like, whoa, we can do this too? Like, this is a thing I can go and do? Mm. So that's really what kind of kick-started and got me into it.
Okay, okay. So how long have you been doing paranormal investigating?
So it's been somewhere over a decade now. So okay. Probably closer to like 15 years or so.
Oh, gosh, that's a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're jealous. We're always jealous when we talk to investigators. We're like, oh, man, why didn't I start this? You know,
we already told him that we're jealous of his podcast voice.
It's never too late.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Sean said, we're jealous of your podcast voice. You don't even do a podcast. And I'm like, daggone it. Now I no, that's cool, though. Yeah, so about 15 years. Is it something that, like, as far as the paranormal and creepy stuff, like, do you have siblings? If so, did they like that? Or do they like it? Or your mom and dad care for this type of stuff? Or
are
just you
the black sheep?
Yeah, are you the black sheep?
Yeah, I'm the black sheep. No one knows where I came from. <You know>? I'm the only person who's into this stuff, even remotely. So it was, you know, it was interesting, you know, growing up and being like, hey, I'm into this. And your whole family was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
How many times have you dropped on your head?
Right.
No, that's cool. And what about, like, friends? Did you grow up with anybody or as far as you got older that was kind of into the same stuff?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a funny story. I really didn't have any friends that were really into it. But I was a musician back in the day, and I actually was putting on shows and concerts here. And I randomly found this band from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, home of the Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up booking them for a concert. We were still in high school. So they drove like 4 hours on a school night to come and play this concert. And I never heard their music or anything. I just felt like a need to book these guys. And I ended up becoming really good friends with them and kind of playing in their band. And the lead vocalist of that band was actually really into the paranormal. And his aunt was actually one of the first person to cite the Mothman. So after we got in touch, he's actually the first person that we decided, let's start investigating, let's start a YouTube channel. And we did that for probably 4 or 5 years. Then years later, I reconnected with an old friend after my book came out. It's Bob Hicks, who runs Tales in the Dark podcast. And he was like, man, I've known you for like 10 years now, and I didn't know you were into this stuff. And I was like, yeah, this is something I've always been into. And then last year we went out and filmed Phantom Farm, the documentary up on Amazon Prime. So it's just been kind of a weird connection of people just kind of gravitating towards each other that I've met over the years and getting into the paranormal further with them.
That's a cool story. And then cool how you come. Yeah, you have no idea that people like the same thing you do, and you may have known them for a good amount of time, and then all of a sudden it clicks. You're like, oh, I had no idea you liked the paranormal too. So that's really neat that you can come together with other people that like the same thing.
It sounds like you've embraced your inner weirdo.
Exactly.
So, congratulations.
I think, you know, years ago it was kind of more taboo to be that weird guy. Now everyone's like, hey, I'm that weird guy.
Yeah, it's cool to do. Yeah, I agree.
No, that's the way to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, and you probably said it. What did you play in the band? What was the?
So I was a bassist.
Oh, there you. So
that's
Nate,
what I am.
Nate's a bassist.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. How long were you in your band, Nate?
I think we played for about 12 years out of high school.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got me beat there.
Yeah, Nate will. When Sean and I get here, he'll already be having some song playing, and he's rocking out. And he's good. Nate's good.
I have to drown the voices out.
That's not untrue.
Sean and I are trying to figure out how to drown our voices. Wait a minute, are you talking about us? I think Nate's talking about us, Sean.
I think there was a joke
there. Yeah. I just caught that. So this journey of the paranormal, like I said, okay, and I forgot to mention, you wrote a book.
Which I have right here. It's in front of me.
Yeah, Ryan.
Taylor Mill.
Horror. There it is. Sean's the book reader. I like reading, say, but I don't have time. I literally don't have time to read any books, so Sean covers that for both Nate and I.
I am a bookworm, yes. By the way, it's very well written. Everybody's going to be disappointed, though, that I'm not as – I haven't been reading as much. I've been busy, but I do – I do a handful of books that I read, and yours, Austin, is still in my pile of active reading, so you'll be proud of me. And I do love it, but I don't know how much you want to give, not to give away anything because you want the readers to actually read out there. But I am excited for you to talk about it because did you always know that you wanted to be an author or write stories? Or I know you've just written this book, but you're a natural.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Growing up, I kind of always had kind of that want, but the odd thing is that I don't read. I don't know that I've ever read a book in my entire life.
Some writers just don't read. You're right. You're not alone.
I just can't bring myself to do it. I don't know if it's the ADD, ADHD, or what's going on, but I didn't even read my own book, and my editor was, like, pulling their hair out because they're like, you're switching people's names. I'm like, I don't know what their names are. I didn't read it.
I'm writing it, not reading it, right? That's
right. So, yeah, I mean, I've kind of always had that but I never really went after it until Taylor Mill Horror. Now I've got another one hopefully coming out in a month or two now.
Nice. So investigator and author, yeah.
The best part is it's a true story. That's what's cool.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm like, that's what I have to keep. When I remind myself, like, this isn't made up. Like, this happened. And that is what's even cooler because it's really close to your heart, obviously, when you're writing all this. And it's like, did it creep you out or did it help? Was it cathartic to get it out on pages?
You know, it's really weird. And I still say to this day that I actually hate that book. I don't know what it is about it. I just kind of wanted to be done with it when I was writing it. And I think part of the reason was, after we left that place, it was a very traumatic experience for us. Going through there because, I mean, the way we got involved there is we were going to investigate Bobby Mackey. It's because we wanted to boost up our YouTube channel. We thought that was the place to do it because it was all the rage at the time. And the woman told us, she was like, hey, I got this house not far away that's supposedly haunted. You guys can stay there if you want. I'm like, okay. We had no plans to investigate or anything. And then we got thrown into this world of, I don't even know how to describe it. So it was getting out of there. We went there for a day. We left and we said, we're never going back. And then within, a couple of days, we're like, we have to go back because the story of the homeowner really pulled at our heartstrings. And he was just looking for answers. And at the time, he was actually in the hospital on his deathbed, claiming that whatever was in that house was still affecting him. And he just wanted answers. He wanted help. So we ended up going back for a little over a week, and after we got back, that was just – it stayed with us for a very, very long time. So that book was actually started 15 times and thrown out. So that was the 16th iteration because I just couldn't get myself through finishing it. I think it's because of the fact that it was, such a tragic story and something that even when I was writing it, I didn't even want to acknowledge it because I felt like acknowledging it might bring back, what affected us there. So
right.
I wouldn't say it was necessarily cathartic. It was, it was an experience.
Well, I can say reading it, even the beginning of the book, when you're talking about how the stress of just being a father and talking about your family and supporting, like, I feel that now. I'm 44 and I'm established and all that kind of stuff. But I started a new job within this last year, and I feel that stress of like feeling like you don't want to fail and that's what keeps you going into, into work. But you're talking about like your first day being like going back to school, and it was so relatable. I'm like, those kind of things are just awesome. That's the kind of book that I really enjoy reading. So, and by the way, thank you for, you sent it to me. And I really appreciate that. So I love a good book, and this is definitely an excellent book.
Well, Austin was saying, yeah, well, I can send you the book. And I'm like, send it to Sean. I'm like, not that I didn't want to read it. I just don't have, yeah. It sounds weird to say that, but I'm like, I have to tell other people, like, no, Sean's the book guy. Like, I would love to have the time and maybe 20 years from now, but I'd hate for you to send it to me and me just let it collect dust, not because I'm not interested in reading it. I just don't have the time.
So. Selfishly, I do want you to write more because I have not read it all. I'm still working through it, but I really enjoy it. And so, like I said, I would like to read more.
Yeah, that's great.
I appreciate that.
No problem, man.
So you were saying that the guy felt like it was still affecting him. You said, correct, right in the hospital.
Right.
What does that mean? Like, what's all entailed on that? Like, why was he saying that, I guess?
Well, so he, I guess it wasn't really affecting him in the hospital so much anymore, but all of his health problems happened inside that home, which put him inside the hospital. Mm. So they ended up moving into a friend's house, and they ended up staying in a little, I think he said it was like an 8x8 room, him and his wife and his daughter. And he said they'd never been happier because when they're inside the home, they were constantly at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. He attempted to take his own life multiple times. You know, it was just all horrible things in there. And he said that he would have to save up money and go stay at a hotel at least once a month with the entire family just so they could recharge. And when they were outside of that home, they were happy. They were a loving family. But as soon as they went back, it was like everything just changed, yeah. You know?
Wow.
Austin, do you mind if I read the back of your book? Would you be okay if I did that?
Yeah, go right ahead. You can read the whole thing. I've got
time. Okay, hold on. Page one.
Page one.
So, Taylor Mill Horror. I can't do it in as cool a voice as you, but we all love a scary story, especially when we can tell ourselves the events in question are fictional. But what about when the fictional crosses into real life? What happens when the tales begin being shared? Excuse me, I'm horrible. I'm a great reader, but I'm a horrible reader. Tales being shared are living inescapable nightmares for those experiencing them. In Taylor Mill, Kentucky, sits a property rife with paranormal activity, and its oppressive energy is all too real. The family living in the home has undergone a bombardment of constant, unexplained activities. Screaming, disembodied voices, objects being thrown, and apparitions were only the tip of the iceberg for Sam, his wife Jody, and their daughter Charlie. Their mental health suffered, and the events stirred up unimaginable fears and trauma. With the help of a priest and two paranormal investigators, Sam and his family began a battle with the unseen forces attempting to drive them from their home. They discovered the house was infested with a demonic presence. Our favorite, right? Yeah. The events and dark energies were altering the emotions of the residents to the point they questioned their own sanity, which is so scary. When the team uncovers strange connections, Sam must ask what brought him to this home in the first place. Could a force beyond comprehension have been at work and drawn the family to the specific property? Discover the true events revealed through interviews and eyewitness accounts for the first time in the pages of Taylor Mill Horror, written by the team who spent 2 weeks amidst the horrors and the man who lived it all firsthand. This is an account like no other. Taylor Mill Horror will immerse readers into a story they will never forget, made even more chilling for its status as nonfiction. That's really well written on the
goosebumps.
Back. So
yeah.
That just gives you a taste. That's yeah.
I like
that. Was
that.
Very well I know.
I'm gonna have to carve out time to read it myself.
That's right.
Yeah. That when you read it, Sean, you said the word oppression, and that's why I immediately thought of because, you know, when you have feelings of, you know, maybe committing suicide, you are going at each other if you're, you know, your family or whatever, and that's not your normal way of living and interacting. That's oppression from demonic forces, no doubt. So that's intense. We hear these stories. We've had, you know, so many investigators and other podcasters, whatever, talking about this stuff, and it's like, you really think it happens probably more than what we know, yeah. You know? And I'm like, I'm so thankful we haven't had that in our family. I mean, I've got a wife and two kids and two dogs, and I'm very protective, and I'm like, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I know what I would do, but I'm glad I don't have to deal with it, you know?
It's a tough situation, and, you know, the owner was honestly one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. And you hear stories and you're like, there's no way that you did this or this happened. You know, when we went back, there was a huge snowstorm And he offered to drive 4 hours in a snowstorm just to get us anything we wanted. He said, I just want to make sure you guys are taken care of, you know. And that's just the kind of guy he was. He was just so selfless. And, you know, to see how these things can affect people and a family, it's just, you know, it's terrifying.
Reminds me of the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
And like Poltergeist and all of that. Those, you know, families having to deal with whatever it is they can't see, but it's damaging them. And, you know, yeah, getting away like to a hotel once a month just for a little bit of peace, that's terrible. I mean, that's pretty bad when you have to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Where is Taylor Mill, though? Where is it as far as like close to, you know, we're at in the state?
So it's close to Wilder, Kentucky, where Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You okay. Said, yeah, that's right. Wilder. Yeah, we went to Bobby Mackey's. What was that, guys? Was it a year ago in October or 2 Octobers ago?
It's been two now.
Yeah, so when you mentioned Bobby Mackey's, I'm like, oh, yeah, we went there for a live show that Jerry Pauly and, you know, Hillbilly Horror Stories, and then we did. Then they gave like an hour tour. They split the two groups. They're like one group went down in the basement area, and then the other group stayed upstairs, and then we switched. And place is wild. That place, it's, we always joke, it's stuck in like, what, 1978 when he bought it? Or
at best.
I mean, uneven floors. They have, you can, the smoke and the paneling, wood paneling. It's like, that's a crazy place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was an interesting place. Mind the dog barking.
That's our attack dog, yeah.
Yeah. Who is that, Nate? What's the dog?
Violet.
Violet.
It sounds like a violet, doesn't
so
it?
So Violet's wanting to be a podcaster all of a sudden. She's a sweet dog. So, okay, so so this family was absolutely terrified at each other. He had suicidal thoughts. What did you guys experience when you, because you said you, what, spent 2 weeks?
Yeah, correct.
So did you feel like this thing was, or whatever it was, I guess you said an infestation, so that means there's more than, that's plural. So whatever they were, did you guys get attacked, or like, did you feel like oppressed in just the 2 weeks you were there? And
100%. I became really ill towards the end. I remember it was something like 70 some degrees in the house, and I had to wear a long sleeve shirt, a thermal shirt, a hooded sweatshirt, then a Carhartt coat on top of that, and I was still shivering 24/7. Oh, so I got really ill really quick.
Wow.
And we were physically attacked, you know, scratched and everything. And it was just, the big problem with that place is that it was 24/7 activity. So you couldn't sleep at night and you couldn't sleep during the daytime. You know, I always talk about how the one morning I'm making breakfast and a plate flies off the counter and flies across the kitchen and shatters on the floor. That's just common things that would happen there. You know, paranormal earthquakes, you know, the whole house just shaking for no reason. We checked to see if there's any seismic activity. We checked with, you know, anyone we can explain this, and we got nothing. So it was just nonstop activity, literally 24 hours a day. And it's funny because we actually about, you know, we talk about the woman screaming. They used to have the cops respond to at home all the time for a woman screaming. And one of the neighbors actually came over when we were there to ask if the woman in her group was okay. Like, we don't have a woman. Wow. And she's like, well, there's a woman screaming in this house. I'm like, okay, I believe it, but
that's unnerving, isn't it?
It's pretty wild.
Man. So you have, okay, now see, that's where I draw the line. They can mess with a lot of stuff, but when they mess with my food and they're sending plates across the room, that's where I draw the line. Now we're got,
it's
now
it's on, for, right?
It's on now. You don't mess with my food, okay? Right. I can put up with a lot. You know, you mess with my kids and wife, okay, I'll be upset, my pups, but oh my gosh, my food. Don't be messing with my food. What had you experienced anything before that, though? Like, had you seen that, or was this place, you're just like, oh my gosh, welcome to the paranormal? You know what I'm saying? I know you know, like that as far as that stuff, that and like you being sick, like, is that something you, like, you never had experienced before or since?
No, I never experienced that before, and I always said, if you would have handed me that book without me experiencing that, I would have told you it's all a load of crap. You know, most of the stuff that was in there was stuff that we hear in places like Amityville and stuff like that. And I always thought it was embellishment. Like, oh, that's a cool story, but, you know, there's no way that can happen in real life, certain things. And after we left there, I'm like, wow, okay, these things do exist out there. And this is stuff that can and does actually happen. And it really made me reevaluate everything and, you know, get more of a mindset of literally anything's possible anymore, especially in the paranormal field.
Wow. That's what doing this podcast, you know, we hear so many stories, and I don't think we could have fathomed some of the stories that we mm-hmm. hear and the people we talk to and the experiences. And the other mm-hmm. thing is I have people come to me saying, you think it's real? Like, do you really think there's, and I'm like, I don't know how I felt before we started this podcast. I was always interested and I always knew that there's a lot of unanswered questions and things out there we don't understand. But now when I really think about, you know, we've experienced a few things too as friends and some of our experiences, but to talk to all the people, you know, not everybody can be full of crap, you know, like that's
right.
It's just, and everybody has some kind of a story or knows mm-hmm. somebody that has had a story or has been told a story. It is. And people just don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I think you writing this story and being able to say like, this is legit. You know, I really appreciate it, honestly, because it is nice to validate for other people that are afraid or ashamed or, you know, think people aren't going to believe them. You know, you give them that ability to say, you know what, maybe if he can get out there and say that, I can get out there and have some strength and say that. So that's what our platform is for, is to make sure people don't. I know we get labeled as weirdos and all this kind of stuff, but yeah, we really should be proud of it. I remember the first time I got called weird, I was in my 20s and somebody's like, you're really weird. And I thought it was like a put down. I was like, well, thanks. And yeah. They're like, no, it's a good weird,
right.
You know? And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks.
This means yeah. different. Right?
And so I've looked at it differently since, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I applaud you for it. I really appreciate
well,
it.
Well, that family, I would think, like you said,
oh, I'm sure
the validity would be really that means something, because how, you know, imagine going through that on a daily basis. And Austin, you said 24/7 where they didn't get a break
yeah.
and you guys didn't get a break. Like, you know, we hear stories and we read and watch these videos and watch these movies, and a lot of them do get at least a break. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. that's pretty
that's
bad.
That's exhausting.
Yeah. It has to be. Yeah. You know, not to have a minute's peace, mm-hmm. you know, like
I know this is going to be weird, but I actually have a question. It doesn't happen too often.
All right, let's get it.
What has happened with that property since?
Good question.
Okay, so yeah, good question and kind of a funny story. So first off, it's not just this one property. It's actually three houses that sit on this property. The property back behind, they literally walled off half their house because of a dark entity. And they said, you can have your half of the house, just don't come to our half. The other house, leaves her lights on 24/7, refuses to talk about anything. Now, this home in particular seems to be the epicenter of activity. And this house has changed hands more times than I can even tell you. And over the last, since I wrote this, I believe it changed hands about 10 times.
Wow.
And with this homeowner, he said, I can't resell this house. He said, I cannot have the conscience to resell this to another family and allow them to, you know, experience what I had to go through. So he allowed the bank to take it over, which is the same thing that the owners before him did, except the owners before him tried to demolish the house, burn it down, whatever they could to get rid of it. And that's why when we went, everything was so new. And we're like, this place is haunted. This place is a newly built house. Well, it was, because the owners before it tried to burn it down, everything else, and they rebuilt it on the same foundation. So the house just keeps changing hands. I look at it every now and then to see, you know, if it's still the same owner. I don't think anyone's ever owned it more than like a year or two.
Wow. Is there an Indian burial ground there? That's what we need to know.
And a lady in white.
Ladies of the night, we need to know.
No, not ladies of the night. Lady in white. Austin, don't, like I told you at the beginning, don't
That's
pay
not
attention
what I heard.
To him.
I don't know about any of that, but I do know that they did used to cook moonshine in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sold.
Yep. Two people died from an explosion of that.
Oh, gosh.
Supposedly. So
that's not good.
At least there's something kind of, you know, of that genre going on there.
Yeah.
Disgruntled moonshiners.
Yeah. Okay, so... Right. So let me ask you this. That was a great question, Nate. So that makes me think. And come off of what Sean said. Like, what's the history of the property? What's going on? Any idea? Any clues? Any research has researched? Like, hey, okay, this happened 100 years ago. Like, what's up with this? You know, where you tear it down and you rebuild it, but it's there. It's not like you're tearing down the property, and the stuff
right.
and it whatever they go away. It's definitely attached to the land. So what is exactly the story? Has anybody been able to go, yep, this pretty much makes sense. This is why it's so intense and demonic and black, you know, dark, you know?
No, really? No one has ever came up with anything at all. I mean, of course, you have your stories like, oh, yeah, Satanists took this land over. But, you know, you hear that with every location.
Yeah, true.
But there's literally no explanation that, you know, it's just a high strangeness area, I guess. And, you know, it really makes me wonder about all the other homes in that town, if they experience anything, because it's just odd that this one piece of land in the middle of nowhere has all this activity.
It's like portal activity.
Well, right. How old is the town? Do you know that? Like, is it, you know?
I mean, do not know off the top of my head.
I'm just curious. And it's probably a small town, like you said. It's
It's a really small town in the middle of basically nowhere. You know, all country roads. And there's not really anything out there.
I was going to say, do they have a stoplight? general store
or
anything?
I don't think there's even a stoplight. There might be a couple stop signs.
Oh, man, that's small.
A stoplight.
That is weird. Usually, yeah. I mean, not that, like, mm-hmm. it's always large, big cities and all that, but, like, to have, like you said, a place in the middle of nowhere that's small and nothing really goes on there, mm-hmm. to have this type of situation. Man.
Does the current owner allow people to come and investigate still?
I don't know. The current owner, from what I saw, he owns the property, but he also owns a home somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't seem to be living there, so I don't know if he's renting the property out to, you know, renters or what's going on. But I don't believe that he allows investigations as far as I know.
Because we normally ask, you know, that's one of our questions is, would we go there?
No.
Which apparently we would not. But
I don't think this is a place I really want to check out, to be honest with you.
I'll just read your book.
Yeah.
This one's not making the list.
Well,
her chickens.
We'll just listen to your stories about
it's
it
all coming out.
Austin and read. Well, okay, so I'm sorry. So the family that you were helping, they don't own anymore, correct? Right? That's
correct.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so some guy owns it, and he feels bad. Yeah, he doesn't want to sell it because he doesn't want that on his conscience. To here you go. Here's a nice house. By the way, it's
he'll rent it out
to kill you. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of. It's one of those things where you hear something like this, where it's like, okay, this might be one of the darkest mm-hmm. we've heard, right, of all the places that we've talked, you know, or heard about and talked about. I am curious about it, but I'm like, not for 2 weeks. Maybe an hour or two just to see. I don't know.
We've heard of a couple of these hell houses that, you know, like you can't spend much more than 20, maybe an hour, maybe, you know, 2 hours at most. But otherwise, it starts testing your sanity.
Well, there's a place, Austin. I don't know if you listened to the episode. I can't remember. I can't remember the episode. Or like. It was a couple months ago, but we talked about the place up north. You remember that?
Hartford City.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yes. The Monroe House. Yeah. Man, we were like, no thanks. The basement's crawling with, demon or whatever it is. And then, I'm like, do we want to do that? Maybe for an hour? but it's the same thing, though. It's like really intense. You get attacked. And
it said guaranteed.
Guaranteed,
you know,
yeah.
Like activity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Then the gel's catty corner of it.
That's right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't. Gosh, I can't. I honestly cannot remember half the stuff we talked about there.
I can't remember half the things I said today. So.
So, okay. So Taylor Mill. Yeah. That's interesting that I didn't know it was like several houses or whatever structures on the property. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's not normal. That is, I don't know how can we top this, what we're talking about, but what other places have you been? Okay, well, let me, real quick, I want to ask you this before I forget. Your team, like, how many were you of the team, the paranormal investigative team that went to that house to help that family? How many were there of you?
So, from what I know, there was only, like, maybe three or four other teams that had ever been in there. We were at the end, and right before we went back is when the priest came in with the team, mm-hmm. and they stayed there, and the priest got ran out after a night. He never returned. So,
oh gosh, that's bad.
There was only very few teams that investigated that place, to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. Wow. How many were of your team? Like, how many did you guys have?
I was just two of us.
Just two. Okay.
That's how we did everything.
Oh,
we
gosh.
We investigated everywhere with just me and my partner.
Ooh. Yeah, sorry, Nate and Sean, but I need about eight more people.
Well, I don't know, especially when we hear that the priest gets run out. It's like, wait, you're supposed to be the guy.
That's how we walked in the next time we went. They're like, hey, see that chair? Yeah, priest got thrown out there and ran out of his house last
good.
Night. I'm like, wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's encouraging. Yeah, it's kind of like a firefighter. You know, they run in while everybody else has run out. Well, it's kind of like the priest. You're like, wait a minute, what? You're leaving.
What chance do we have?
Yeah, he's like, I'm out. I've had it. That's crazy. Okay, so now moving forward, you know, what's some other places that you've been and, you know, any stories from other investigations and craziness?
Oh, man, all kinds of stories. You know, we've kind of been all over. We try to hit all the big spots. You know, Waverly Hills is always the favorite, I think, of anyone, obviously. It's a great place. We just did the documentary last year at Randolph County Asylum in Indiana. That's a cool place. But one of my favorites of all time is Prospect Place Mansion here in Ohio, built to be part of the Underground Railroad, supposedly one of the last stops. And it's just, the place has such amazing history, and if you ask me, it's definitely one of the most haunted places in the United States. I don't think there's any denying that, and I've taken lots of people there, lots of groups there, and, you know, paranormal investigators, you're going in, you're expecting nothing the entire night, and whenever I take people, that's what they expect, and then within a couple hours, like, this place is insane, and it truly is.
What's the? I'm sorry, Austin. What's the name of it again? Prospect what?
Prospect Place Mansion in Trenway, Ohio.
Okay, I'm writing this down because it might be something we want to talk about. So, so you said that place is definitely something's going on, and yeah. So, what's some of the stories that you've had from there, or anything you can share?
So one of the coolest stories is that one night we were up in the ballroom. That seems to be like the epicenter for activity. They used to have huge balls there where like Abraham Lincoln came out once. You know, it was a place where all the important people came and they would party, which is funny because you had the President of the United States partying right above, you know, slaves that are hiding in the basement, and this guy's here breaking federal law with the president, you know, hanging out. But one night we were up there and we had a chair fly across the ballroom, and that was something that was pretty crazy. We have heard women singing. We have seen apparitions. They actually have a child there that was believed to pass away in a train crash, and they told us that there's this mirror that he likes, and you can draw a tic-tac-toe board and place your fingerprint, and he'll play a game of tic-tac-toe with you. And we didn't think anything of it. You know, it's just a story. And sure enough, you know, we played a full game of tic-tac-toe with this ghost child.
That's wild.
And we went back again, and I told my friend about it. He didn't believe me, and he did it. And sure enough, it happened again. So, you know, there's just all kinds of crazy activity there where you can expect anything from full-bodied apparitions to poltergeist activity. You can hear conversations going on. I mean, it has everything. And the best part is that it's such a historical place just to be within the walls of, you know, all that history. If you don't catch anything, it's amazing.
I want to know, have you, because you said you've taken a lot of people, groups, into these places, do you ever take people that say, that are super skeptical and like, nothing's going to happen, and then you show them this, and they're like, it just changes their whole outlook. Have you had that happen once or more than
Absolutely,
once?
Absolutely, multiple times.
Yeah.
Back when we were filming, we had a trouble keeping cameramen, because we would try to bring in skeptics, and then, you know, they'd end up running off. And one investigation, I found the perfect cameraman. He was an ex-Army sniper who was also an atheist, didn't believe in anything. And within the first night, he ran out crying like a four-year-old girl.
Oh, gosh.
And so, you know, all the time, I like to bring in people who are skeptical and kind of get their take. And nine times out of ten, they leave and they have a whole new outlook on life.
I bet.
I bet. Have you ever visited a place and you thought it was haunted or everybody reported it and then you found that there was trickery? Have you ever found like stuff that you've debunked or said, no, wait, this isn't right or this is explainable?
Yes, 100%.
I figured that 100%. Too. Yeah.
Isn't that disappointing? Like, you know, a lot of investigators say, I'd rather have nothing happen than have something happen and it be false. Yeah, because that's, you know what I'm saying? You want it legit. Well, you know, if you go back in, you know, to a place 10 times and nothing happens, well, at least nobody tried to fake you out. You know, I'd rather be disappointed of like, ah, shoot, we didn't get much activity tonight or whatever. But then, you know, I'd rather have that than have somebody, oh, my gosh, all this stuff's crazy. And then you're like, wait a minute, the owners are doing this or that or it's, you know, I'd hate yeah. if they try that. Or, you know, like Sean said, it could be debunked where it's nobody's trying to play, you know, tricks, but it's just, oh, okay, it's an electrical issue or it's the house settling, whatever it is, you know. But when people try to pull the wool over, I don't like that. That's not.
Would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Exactly, Nate. That's what.
Scooby-Doo phenomenon.
You're absolutely right,
pull the mask
though,
up.
With this whole rise in popularity of these paranormal, like, attractions, so to say, we yeah. ran into a few. One that we were going to film a documentary at just not too long ago. We go in there, Mike. Okay, you've got speakers hidden here. Mm. You've got, you know, like these dolls and like these, you know, it's just like, come on, guys. But it's something that, you know, you have to look out for if you go to these places. Mm. You have to know, you know, kind of what to look for and things that they could be using to make sure you get evidence that yeah. you can put it out there so other people are like, whoa, we need to go there, you know. So it's an unfortunate thing, side effect of the popularity within the paranormal field for sure.
Yeah. That's it's kind of crappy when they do that. But I think that's probably, you know, doesn't happen a lot. But yeah, you got to be prepared and aware of that stuff, I guess, because you never know what people's agenda and their motivations are. And you know,
right?
Yeah, I get it. Let's get to it. Here's an important question. I can't believe Sean mm-hmm. and Nate didn't ask. Who won the tic-tac-toe, though? That's what I want to know. Who won the game?
These are the kind of questions that matter.
That's the important stuff.
So, the first game my buddy won, okay. and, you know, he probably upset the little kid. I tried to tell him to let him win, you know, but just showed no mercy.
That's right.
And the
Cobra
second
Kai.
One was a tie.
So. Oh, okay. I just had to ask. I'm like, I wonder. Yeah. Show no. That's right. Hey, I still don't let my 12-year-old son, he hasn't beat me in one-on-one. And I'm like, I'm not. He's going to have to earn it, you know. Too bad. Old man can still play, and, you know, he's trying his best, but I'm like, my oldest brother and my dad didn't let me win until I got better than them. Mm-hmm. So I don't care if it's tiddlywinks. You got to earn it. You got to earn it, whether it's a ghost child or not, Nate. I'm telling you. that's pretty cool, though. That's I wrote that down. I'll have to check that place out. Prospect Place Mansion. I think when you said it had a ballroom, I'm like, ooh, okay. So it must be fairly large. And is it in good shape?
Yeah.
Has it been kept up pretty well?
Yeah, it's kept up really well, especially now that new owners took it over. But it's truly a place stuck in history. I remember years and years ago, went back, because it was owned by the great-grandson of the original owner, George Adams. And one time I walked in there, and he was tearing apart this old, old chair. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he said, well, I got to hang up this light switch, and, you know, screws weren't period appropriate, and I don't have any old nails, so I'm taking this apart. So, you know. Like, he wouldn't even allow screws. He'd literally take apart antique furniture to hang things up. It was kept up really well, cool. And it's very, very, very of the period.
See, that's why we talk about, man, it'd be great to buy a place that's known to be haunted or whatever. And, you know, if it's a fixer-upper, that'd be fine. You know, that's kind of part of the charm. But, mm-hmm. Sean, I assume you're not a big fixer-upper guy, right?
No.
And I don't, you know.
I can make a mess with the best of them.
Yeah, but Nate is our Nate's the handy guy. He's mm-hmm. the handyman, so we'd count a lot on him to help us.
Well, I'm glad I have to do all the work.
A labor of love, Nate. You're like, wait a minute, how'd I get? So you were talking about, and you slipped it in there, you have been to Waverly. Any good stories? Because we have been to Waverly one time, and we're hoping to get mm-hmm. back there at some point soon. What you know, activities did you experience there? And have you been more than once?
Yeah, so I've been to Waverly 4 times.
Okay.
And I don't want to upset you with this story.
Oh, boy.
I know it will, but here we go.
I know what's going to be. I know what's going to be. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I do, too.
Drop the bomb, Austin. Drop it.
The very first time that I went, you know, we obviously have a lot of activity, but there's one point where I was walking down the hall with this man. I forget his name. He was part of another paranormal team. And we both just kind of stopped dead in our tracks. And we saw, you know, up on, I think it was the third floor where it has the breezeway where it's got the part that's got that's open to the outside. And it has these kind of pillars on the walls. And we saw something peeking out from behind the pillar. And we're just like, what the heck is that? And so we kind of get a little bit closer and we see this, I don't know how to describe it, almost, you know, almost like an oval shaped head. It had its back legs on the ground and its front legs on the ground at the same time. So we're, the front legs were extremely long and it was just sitting there looking at us. And we're just standing there like, what is going on? And then it just kind of darts off. And so this happens, we're standing there dumbfounded. And, my partner, who I did all the investigating with, he comes running down the hall with his dad. He was like, you will never believe what we just saw. And I was like, yeah, okay, what'd you see? Because you're not going to top us. And he said, we saw the creeper, and it was running on the ceiling right towards you guys. And I said, wait a second. It was running towards us. I said, like, when did this happen? He was like, a couple minutes ago, and we tried chasing it, but we couldn't find it. And I was like, well, I think we found it.
There
well,
it was.
Well, Creeper, hope you enjoyed this guest chat with Austin Lawrence.
You're cutting
this
short, aren't you?
I'm cutting it short right now. No, I'm jealous, but that is a, that's a great story. I knew when you said
we tried all night long.
I know. I'm like, I mean, we had a good time.
We became the creepers.
Yeah, we had a good time and we had some experiences, but no creeper.
Might have been the creeper at the very end, the little shadow person.
Well,
popping
that's
his
right.
Head
yeah,
in
we never
the
figured
corner.
That
yeah,
out.
We yeah. have mentioned that before. That
we
that,
just didn't walk and get close enough to actually see what it was.
Yeah, we
I can't blame you there.
Yeah, I was. That was my. Not, I mean, not the only reason I wanted to go there, obviously, but I was like, that was, man, I wanted
you
to
you wanted
the...
him to come home with us, remember?
Yeah, I did. I did.
My little creeper.
I can't blame you.
He could fill in on the podcast when one of us is, you know. that's awesome. No, that's a cool story. Yeah, the creeper. Man, we'll go back. We'll get back there one or two more times, and maybe next time we'll see the creeper. But although I have no doubt he probably saw us, but he was like, I'm not messing with these three, especially Sean and I. We're
knuckleheads.
Yeah, he's like these two guys. So yeah. So what other experiences have you had at Waverly?
So another interesting one was I might have had a run in with the doppelganger. It was me and it was actually the same guy. We were walking down the hall and we saw what we thought was my partner walk out into the hall. And I called out to him and he just stared at me. And I'm like, what's going on? And so I called out to him again and he just stared at me and he turned and he walked into a room. And I'm like, okay, something's not right because he just stared at us and wouldn't say a word. So we took off full sprint down the hall and into the room. In the room, the only way out was jumping out the window. But, you know, my partner was very distinct because he was over 7 feet tall. And because of everything he was wearing. And that was just a very, very strange experience that, you know, that's Waverly, you know. I mean, Waverly is so rife with paranormal activity. You can go there and experience anything at any time.
So the doppelganger, your buddy didn't see him, right? You just saw
correct.
Him. Okay, because they say part of the legend or whatever is if you see your own doppelganger, that could be death or
it's no bueno.
It's not good. So I'm glad to hear. Yeah, because I'm like, yeah. A buddy of mine, it was like I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago. He sent me a picture. He goes, Todd, I literally saw you at the gas station as I was filling my truck up. He goes, and I realized it wasn't you. He sent me a picture, and I, you know how people go, oh, man, this guy looked just like you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah. Austin, it was, I about fell over. I'm like, That's me. That is, I mean, the guy had a baseball hat, my build, my height. Eric, it's my buddy, wow. Eric, he said, Todd, it could not have been any closer to you. I mean, he's like, other than it not being you, it was you.
And
was
I'm
like,
quoting Tombstone?
Yeah. He sent me that picture. And so then I showed my wife. She goes, oh, my gosh, I mean, that is you. I mean, it was the profile.
Right.
Everything was to a T. And I'm like, but won my car. So that's how you knew it won me. But, yeah, but like they say, if you see your own doppelganger, that's not a good thing. So I'm glad that he didn't see him. But, Waverly, we had a good time. We enjoyed it. We did that with our friend Erin Ignatz, who we've had on our show. And she was.
We had some weird experiences.
We did.
Sure.
Yeah,
we
did.
Heard things. We saw things. We couldn't figure out why. The ball that kept moving around, the one that flew across the room for no reason.
We've got that on video. Yeah. We're being interviewed tomorrow night. I'm not sure when it drops, but we're going to be interviewed by Eleanor Wagner, who we had on our show a few months ago. She wants me to send some pictures and some video. But like she mentioned, she's like, yeah, send that video of Waverly where the ball is rolling. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I will. And that was crazy because I watched it the other night again because I hadn't seen it for a while. And daggone it, that one ball was the only one moving and the rest were real close to it. Nothing. I mean, dead still. I'm like, and there's no wind, but like if there's wind, they all move. They're just those plastic balls you see at the grocery store.
Are you going to send that video of karaoke of the three of us? No.
Yeah.
Middle-aged and karaoke.
Sean, I want that to be a good interview.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I think Eleanor's goal was to.
Right.
But no, you're right, though. Yeah, Waverly, just when you pull up, you're just like, holy cow, this is the real deal. Like, I'd never seen
it. Yeah.
I had never seen anything like that. You know, it's pretty impressive. Yeah, the gargoyle statues and the. Just yeah, like
oh,
you said,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. So you say you've been there. What'd you say? Four times.
Yes, correct.
Four times. Wow. Yeah. And do you usually have activity every time you go? Like more or less, or I mean, has it ever let you down where you felt like tonight was a bust or whatever?
Yeah. So I am what a lot of people call haunted. Basically, wherever I go, activity seems to follow. And it doesn't really matter where we're going for some reason. I just attract activity. And, it's something that my friends have pointed out where we go somewhere, we have something happen. Or, my good friend Bob from Tales from the Dark, when we went out and investigated, we go to places that they went to before and had no activity. All of a sudden I get there and it's just all kinds of activity. So it's rare that we go somewhere we have absolutely nothing, but I kind of have to differentiate, what is normal for me and what is could be attributed to this place,
True, yeah.
You're kind of a conduit then, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. It's interesting, and it's something that, I'm good friends with Eric Freeman Sims, who you guys had on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, this is something that just happened this past weekend, and we've been trying to meet up for a long time. We've known each other for about a year, and every time we try to meet up, something happens, and we just can't do it. So he told me he had an event in Louisville, Kentucky, which is about 3.5 hours from me and about 3.5 hours from him. It's right in the center for us. So I went down there. We booked the same hotel. We stayed in there, and we went to the event, but most of our time we spent out on the patio just having some drinks and just talking, just pretty much all day from 8 a.m. to 4 a.m. is basically our everyday routine. And out on the patio, they had some tables, and there was a lady who was working the front desk, and she kept coming out and she would check on us and talk to us and just, very, very nice woman, always, upbeat, very happy. And for some reason, she always gravitated towards us. Maybe the patio was full. And so the last day we were there, Sunday at about 3 a.m., she came up to us and she was just like, I really wish I had what you guys had. And Eric was like, drinks? And she was like, well, yeah, that too. But she's like, you guys have obviously been lifelong friends. And you just sit there and talk. And Eric's like, this is the first time we've met in person. And she said, well, how'd you guys meet? And Eric said, through the paranormal. So it's going to go one of two ways. She's either going to say, these guys are weird, I'm getting out of here, or she's going to have some stories.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so she asked, she was like, do you guys ever, feel anything, when you go to these places? And Eric's like, what do you mean? She's like, do you sense things? He's like, yeah. He said, myself and, you know, we're both empaths, which is something that Eric's helped me come to terms with, you know, kind of being an empath. And she asked if we felt anything at that hotel. And Eric said, no, but we haven't really looked around. We haven't really tried. And she said, well, let me know. And she's like, by the way, what floor is you staying on? I said, I'm staying on the sixth. And Eric said, well, I'm on the fourth. And she's like, ooh. She's like, you really let me know if you feel anything. So instantly me and Eric make eye contact. We're like, we're going to the fourth floor, right? So we get to the elevator. We go up to the fourth floor. And Eric's room is right outside the elevator. He goes into his room. And I just start walking down the halls. And I'm just walking down the hall, just facing forward, not paying attention to much of anything. And out of nowhere, I just get hit. It was like walking into a brick wall of this just depression, sadness, you know, helplessness. I can't even begin to describe it. And, you know, I realized I just had like tears coming down my face. And I was like, ooh, this is, there's something in this area. And I was like, I got to get away from here. So I turned back and walked back towards the elevator, and Eric was coming out of his room. And he was like, oh, you ready to walk? And he didn't know that I took off down the hall. I was like, yeah. So we walked down the hall. We passed, you know, the room where I felt it. We go down a couple more halls, and we get to the end. And Eric's like, back that way. And so we go back, and he stops right in front of the door. And he said, this room right here, 424. And I was like, Eric, dude, it's 3 in the morning. It's too late for you to be doing this to me. You did not just pick the same room as me. Like, we're not doing this tonight. And he said, there was a suicide in here. And that's exactly what I was getting from, you know, yeah, the feelings of the helplessness and everything. And I'm just like, man, I can't do this with you, man. Like, yeah. It's late. I need to go to bed. And he was like, let's go downstairs. Let's talk to, you know, the lady at the front desk. And, you know, so I'm trying to rationalize this. And I realized that, you know, hotels, most of the rooms are right on the walls, you know, and this one was tucked back a little bit. And I was like, that's why. This room was off because it was tucked back and it gave us odd feelings just because it was in a weird spot. I was like, that's it. We're going to go down here. This lady's going to tell us we're wrong. I'm going to get to go to sleep. It's going to be a good night. Well, we walked down there and she was behind the desk. She was all happy and excited to see us. And Eric goes up to her and he was like, so room 424. And she answered, her whole demeanor just changed. She's like, no, you did not just say that. He's like, yeah, room 424. And she said, shut up. She said, you did not just say that. And he said, was there a suicide in there? And she instantly breaks down. She's bawling. She said, we all need to go outside. She said, I can't be in here. We got to go outside. So we go outside, and she tells us that the head housekeeper not too long ago had taken her own life in room 424.
Oh, no.
And she went on to tell us that, you know, she had sensed things there, and she had always sensed things in locations, and she had later been proven right, and she never talked about it because her friends made fun of her for it. They called her crazy. They called her psychic and all these things. And it was like, man, this all came together, like, for a reason. And then when we get up the next morning, I get ready to leave, and I text Eric. He's like, yeah, I'll meet you down the patio. We go down the patio. All the tables are removed. And I'm like, we've been here for 3 days, and these tables and everything were always in the same spot. And if they were removed before this, we would have never met this woman, and she would have never came to us. It was just like, there was just this huge thing that was like, wow, all this was meant to happen, not only for myself, but for her, yeah, and all of us. And now I'm like, you know, I've come to terms with this. I'm like, this is something that should be talked about more so people don't feel like they're mentally, you know, not okay or crazy or whatever. You know, this is things that people have happened. There are people out there who can feel things and sense things. It's very much against my skepticism, and as much as I don't want to believe it, it's a real thing.
Yeah. Austin, and you're really speaking very close to what we've talked about on this show with other people, but we've talked about this with the three of us. And that is part of, even before we started the show, wanting to really connect it to mental health, because mm-hmm. that is one of the things that people really overlook with mental health, you know, because people, like you said, oh, people think I'm crazy. Oh, people don't understand, yeah, you know, and they'll label you as weird, but I completely understand it too. And it is. But you coincidentally, which I don't believe in coincidences, meet other people
right.
that help you to validate those things within you. I've had that experience even just today with a friend of mine. And we were just talking about, like, she was coming to me with, like, certain feelings she was having. And I'm like, I know, I have it too, you know. And then it's like, she's mm-hmm. like, I feel better because you're able to tell me that I'm not crazy. And I'm like, I know. And I don't know what else to tell you except that we got to bind together. You know, you feel like a stranger in a strange land. But it's just, you know, the rest of the world's going so fast and people just don't even know some of the, I think everybody has gifts. I think everybody is able to do and feel and sense, but a lot of people either block it out or it's shut off in them or whatever. But I believe that there are people out there that are, you know, attuned to it, but it's hard, you know, but it does, I think it results in people becoming very depressed, anxious,
absolutely,
suicidal, all those things happen. And but it's important to talk about it because it doesn't get talked about enough, and people feel very lonely out there, and it's an effect of the world that we live in too, because we're so, you know, we're worried, you know, is the world going to blow up tomorrow, what's the next war, you know, what's the next pandemic and all this stuff. But you know, we forget that what we have is each other. We have love.
Right.
We have time. I always tell people in my own practice, you know, the most important thing when people spend time with me or I spend time with them, I'm like, this is important. That time is one of the most important commodities we have on the planet. And we don't realize that it's so precious that it's fleeting, you know? So when we spend time together, like what we're doing right now, this is a big deal that your time is valuable. So we appreciate that you're using it. And whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, we want it to be important and we want it to mean something. And I hope it means something to you. It means something to us. And then it'll mean something to countless people that listen to this, you know? Yeah. So, and even long after we're gone.
Absolutely. And I love seeing, you know, what you guys are doing and other, you know, podcasts kind of doing as well, like you said, following this whole mental health thing, because not only is it, and it's something that, you know, Taylor Mill, I really asked him, I said, did you ever think you were going insane? Did you think you were crazy? Did you think you need mental health? And he said, well, the things that I was experiencing were too real that I realized I wasn't insane. And you know, it was just something that always stuck with me, is that, you know, you can feel like you're going insane because of things you're experiencing, because you would rather feel that way than to say, my house is being plagued by demons. No, I'd rather be insane, so that's what I'm going to stick with. And then that starts affecting your mental health, because it's something that, you know, is so unbelievable that doesn't happen, right? So, you know, I love to see it in the paranormal field where, you know, mental health is being pushed and, you know, people sharing their stories, let them know, you know, you're not crazy. And, you know, there's other people out there who've been through it and, you know, there's help for you out there.
Yeah, that's well said, both by you and Sean. I think even if you don't know what it is and you can't, like, pin it down to, okay, this is what's going on in the house or whatever the location is, just validating that there is something going on, you know, and then if you can't explain mm-hmm. it perfectly or really know, okay, you know what, this happened 100 years ago, like I said, in that house, nobody really knows the backstory of what's going on with the property or the land. But it's okay. But yeah, it's just enough sometimes to go, you know what, though? There is something going on. I'm not making it up, and we're not like crazy.
Right.
We're not, I think that's kind of a big thing too, just to know that, okay. And then when other people like you come in and go, nope, there is something here. Definitely. You know, just people want to be validated. And, like I said, I've never experienced, you know, luckily, you know, when I was married before, we had couple of houses and never had, I mean, we built them, but like nothing on land that was like, ooh, okay, cursed land. We didn't have to deal with that. My wife now, mm-hmm. And our kids, we haven't had to deal with anything, you know? So I'm like, but these poor people that somehow how they got, yeah, whether they were drawn to it or just bad luck, they bought a property that they fell in love with. And then it turns out to be, you know, demonic or some type of haunting. But just people like you going to these places and going, yeah, we hear you. We know, we agree. There's something going on. You're not crazy, and we can do what we can. And that's very needed, I think, you know, and so yeah, kudos to you for doing what you do. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. And I feel the same about you guys. You know, you're every week, you know, you're giving people that reassurance. It's not just entertainment. It's also, you know, it's mental health help. It really is.
Yeah, there's just so much that goes into it. Like, man, I mean, we all three struggle, and then there's, I don't care who it is, from you know, I'm gonna say like, I mean, kids. I mean, it's really bad. My wife's in education, and she sees it every day where these kids are. She has some pretty bad stories that she comes home to, and it's just her way of like, I'm like, I don't want to hear it, but yet I know that's how she has to help herself. And so, and I know she holds back. She doesn't tell me all the things, but like, she's like, yeah, we had a little boy, you know, and he tried to commit suicide last night, we found out, or he says this and that. And I'm like, oh, how old was he? Second grader. I'm like, second grader? I was playing with Star Wars toys, and I had no idea. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, I wasn't depressed or upset. I had a great household. My mom and dad loved me. They told me they loved me. I had all the attention and brothers and sisters, and I played, you know, ball out in the backyard, wiffle ball, and this poor little baby's trying to figure out life at second grade, whether he wants to go on or not. And I'm like, oh, it tears me up. It just tears me up. And so whether it's that or it's just everybody has something, especially, you know, starting with say like teens, it's not going to get any better, but all we can do. And thank you for the words you said, but like even if it's just something little, just to help maybe, you know, I've mentioned it before, like, man, how much are we really doing? Cause but I figure, and we've been told, and we're like, if we can make somebody laugh at our stupid jokes in our podcast for an hour or a half hour, then, you know, makes them escape. And that's why I listen to podcasts and on music. If you can just escape for on my way to work, if I listen to 10 minutes of the radio or my iTunes, you know, I wasn't thinking about the crap that I have to deal with here, you know, or what made me mad on the way. So we're all in it together. Yep.
Austin, I have to say one other thing, and this is kind of a funny way to put it, but I think we're all helping each other complete each other's stories. We all are living a story, and we're all, and it may be we're helping people from centuries ago complete their stories now, you know, by doing some of these investigating, you know, and reporting and story writing and all these things and talking about it. We keep it alive. But something very simple, a couple different things that happened this week with me at work, and I'm in the medical field, and one of the nursing aides came out of a room, and there was a lady, a nurse was in there taking exceptional care of this patient who was confused, and she kept talking about, I could hear her in there, you know, and she's like, honey, you're just having a hard time remembering. I've been with you for a couple of days. Hey, you know, just want to make sure you're feeling comfortable. And the aide came out, and she said, boy, that never gets easier. And I don't know anything about this patient. I have not worked with her. Didn't know a thing about her. And I said, is she just having some confusion? She said, she's passing away. She's dying. And she said, it never gets easier. She said, she goes, I'm proud to be part of this. And so we gave each other a hug. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you're helping to truly complete her story and make her comfortable at the end. There was another gentleman that was dying of the end-stage ALS with Lou Gehrig's disease. And he had a significant other that was fighting so hard for him, and he was at the end stages of it. But she really wanted to try to keep him alive until that they find a cure. And she kind of backlashed was very, very gruff with myself and another physical therapist. And then she apologized. I'm really sorry I came across that way. And I said, you're advocating for your loved one. Don't ever apologize.
Yeah, it wasn't personal to you.
I can take it. And I'm going to do everything I can to make him as comfortable and do whatever I can for you. But don't ever apologize for advocating for your loved one.
No.
And he did pass away within a week or so. But it was one of those things like...
It's hard.
It is. But some people just are at different points in their lives, different points in their stories, and we're just trying to help each other out, you know, truly. And then I know we've all heard this story before. I saw it again on a video of people are like, you know, garbage bags or garbage trucks, you know, they just are carrying so much, and sometimes they overfill and they just blow up on you, you know, and it's not you, it's them, but you got to sometimes just acknowledge that they're having a rough time. It's not, don't take it, like you said, don't take it personal, you know, smile, wave, give them as much goodness as you can in that moment and help them to move on and let yourself move on past those things. It's hard to do, but it is something that, you know, somewhere out there, I think I need to hear that message too, but somebody out there needs to hear that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I worked at, I was 18 years old and I started my first full-time job. Well, it wasn't my first full-time job, it was my career. So I was 18, I graduated just a couple months before. So I worked at a credit union. I just started out as an entry-level teller because I wanted to get into banking. And so, man, I'm telling you, after the first couple weeks, this lady and her husband ended up being two of my favorite members. Like, I love seeing when they came in or through the drive-thru, but... The first time I interacted, she lit me up. They were probably in their 60s, so it was not like they were just, you know, they weren't young and with a temper, or they weren't old. They're just, I don't know. And so, man, she did. She yelled at me, and I had to go back and talk to my – well, she used to be the manager, but she was in member services, so, like, she'd open accounts and all that. And she told me, she's like, Todd, it's not you. They're mad at something that happened way before you, or they're upset about something they got to deal with. It's not you. It's, and I'm like, and 18 years old, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like, well, I still have a hard time dealing with it, but I'm like, because I want it now. I want to, you know, but I just think that's not me. It's not what I, you know, maybe it is. A lot of times it is, but, but like, but that's what it's just whatever they're, you know, I was the, at that moment, the one they had to lash out. And I, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't do it. You know, I did anything wrong, but it is what it is.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah. And that's, you know, maybe she just had to, who knows? Maybe she has a kid doing whatever, or a sick parent, or something, whatever, you know, or they just didn't feel well, and I was the punching bag for that 2 or 3 minutes. But this is why we do this, man. This is why I told my mom, as I was taking her home after the volleyball game, I'm like, well, we're doing a guest chat with Austin Lawrence. I said, you'll hear him. It'll drop next week, by the way, Austin. I said you know, we connected, and I said, this is what we love. We love talking to people. I love, Sean and Nate love hearing the paranormal, the stories. Hey, where'd you go? What'd you experience? But like, just the friendship, the community. We love this. This is the best part of why we do this. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Best part of waking up, right?
Best part of, yeah.
That's Folgers. You're coming.
Oh,
sorry.
No, but really.
I diverted.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
But it's true, though. I was like, I'm excited to hear the stories, but I'm like, but I just, it's nice to
we
talk to somebody.
Need this,
you know,
too,
we
though.
Do. I love it.
We take such great care of this. I mean, afterwards, right. We were like, I need it tonight, you know. Mm, so, Austin, yeah. I had to tell you, I told you this is going to be fun. And you're going to actually charge us for this, right? This is a therapy session. I have to ask you before I forget this during this interview, since you're a musician, bassist and all that mm-hmm. good stuff, tell us some of your favorite music out there. I'm sure, you know, you might have different kinds, favorite band, favorite songs, anything. I got to know.
Oh, man, that is so tough.
I put you on the spot.
That's a good question. Honestly, I'm into every single genre, except I can't get into new school country. So
that's all right.
I mean, I love everything from Johnny Cash to, you know, I'll listen to Biggie Smalls, I'll throw in Wu-Tang Clan, I'll throw in, Metallica, Rob nice. Zombie. I mean, I'm just so all over the board with my musical taste. Even bluegrass, Billy Strings, you know, I love it all. So it's really tough for me to, you know,
you're eclectic.
Narrow it down to anything.
I love it.
No, I think that's, speaking for myself, that's, if you look at my iTunes, I've got Kiss is my favorite band, but in Metallica and AC/DC. And then, I mean, I've got, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash. And then I go down to, yeah, I mean, like I got, yeah, I like, I remember when I worked back to the credit union, I remember my lending manager, she loved classical. Now she loved her hard rock, but to soothe and kind of get her through the day, she listened to classical. She'd bring her CDs in, and then I would borrow them, and so I brought a radio in and behind my desk and just, you know, played it softly, but I love listening to classical. And so, yeah. And then I grew up on, you know, like old school rap and hard rock. And then well, it was funny. I was talking to, a friend of mine yesterday, I as a 7-8 year old, I love the Statler Brothers. I know you probably never heard of them, but they were an old country, like a quartet. And I love the Statler Brothers. It's just, and I still like, at 52 years old, I'd listen to them. And then the next minute, I'd listen to Def Leppard. It's just funny. I love that, though, when people like you and
right.
You know, we like different, just different types of music, you know?
I love when I hear Rob Zombie 2 or White Zombie.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That takes
yeah.
me back.
Oh, yeah, White Zombie. That's, yeah.
My brother, who is Chad, I've mentioned him many times, he is one of the most, like, straight arrows you'll ever meet out there, and he would, and you've met him, Todd, mm-hmm. and you know him, Nate, but that was one of his favorite bands was White Zombie.
Was it?
We grew up. And it's just funny because people look at him like, he does not like White Zombie. He does.
he
still
hey,
does.
Hey, I, you know, I would have said the Osmonds. Yeah. I would have said the Osmonds.
Right, exactly.
No, the sorry,
Statler,
Chad.
The Statler Brothers. Right?
Hey, don't bash the Statler.
I got another question.
I always liked his music, but now that I'm working on this new book, I've listened to basically exclusively him to kind of like get me in the zone. And I love it. I can't get enough.
I don't That's blame awesome. You. Yeah.
He's got some good horror movies out there, too, by the way. Just for
Yeah.
Speaking of horror movies, what is your favorite series or character, if you have
favorite
one?
Favorite horror movies. Okay. So if I were to name my favorites, The Shining, obviously, that's probably my top. The original Conjuring movie, I love. Rose Red was fantastic. The original It, I loved. Some of the early Freddy Krueger's. The Terrifier was an amazing series. Insidious. Those would be my tops. I know that's a lot of tops, but.
Austin, no original Halloween, Michael Myers. Come on now. What's going on here?
I know.
Do you want to be on the show again or not?
Michael Myers, the original, when it first came out, when I was growing up, I first saw it, I enjoyed it. And I can still go back and enjoy it. But any of the other ones, I just can't get into. But the original one, I will still pop on and enjoy it. Yeah. But that's the only one of that series that I can, for some reason, just get into.
I agree. I like the second one, but I mean, I've seen, I think, two. I saw, of course, Halloween 3, but it has nothing to do with Michael Myers. I saw I saw Halloween 4, and I think maybe Halloween 5. The rest of them, no. And I hated the 4 and 5, and 3 was just a different story. It was just a totally different movie. The original, oh my gosh, of course, I've mentioned 1,000 times on the podcast, but yeah, just give me 1978 Halloween. And I'm good. That's all. I don't need to see the others. I don't care about Halloween Ends, Halloween Comes Back, Halloween Die, whatever. Just, no.
I thought you liked Exorcist.
No, I do not, Nate. You know this. You know what?
Don't let Jerry hear you say that.
I know, Jerry. That actually came up last night. I said something about, I don't know, my parent. I don't know what it was. And my wife goes, oh, yeah, but they let you. She was not like, seriously jabbing at my parents, but like whatever we were talking about, she's like, yeah, but you, oh, I know what it was. I had heard something that my classmates were talking about when I was in grade school of a certain nature that I'm like, whoa, I was pretty young to hear about or kind of find out about. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, yeah, but you were 5 years old and your parents let you listen or watch The Exorcist. I said, I was 9, first of all. I was 9. I said, second.
So much more mature.
I said, second, I was literally terrified where I've only seen it one time since then. I was 29. But yeah, that movie there, The Exorcist, man. I was thinking last night, because our kids still bug us about them every once in a while. I want to see The Exorcist. We're like, no, not until you're 42. But I'm thinking, you know what? I might buck up and try to watch it one more, just to see if I can do it at 52 now. Because it's been 23 years since I tried it last. So
you got
to
have a big bowl of pea soup, though.
Isn't that the year for the creeper? Every 23 years.
Every 23 years, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just talked about
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Speaking of, everybody goes, I told my, I've had two people go, well, that's not a tombstone. Is that Tombstone? I go, no, that's the creeper. My daughter did. I go, hey, did you see my new tattoo? She goes, no. I said, she goes, oh, Tombstone. I go, no. I said, you know Jeepers Creepers? She goes, no. And our kids, they know their horror films, but she never heard of Jeepers Creepers. But Insidious, The Conjuring. We love those movie mm-hmm. franchises. We're ready to watch the new Insidious that came out. What's the There's another one that's coming out. The Nun 2. Nun 2 just came out. Mm-hmm. We like the first one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, the It movies. Yeah.
You mentioned The Terrifier. That my son.
I ain't doing that.
My son likes to watch a lot of horror stuff, and he's so, like, he's 15.
That's gore.
He's 15. I know. And he's 15, and he sits there, and a lot of stuff, he's like, it's not scary. Not scary.
Yeah.
Now, The Terrifier, though, he's like, Dad, that was scary. I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah, I can't do the gore
I
stuff.
I know. It gets a little much.
Yeah, I'm not a gore person.
I want to be scared, not grossed
that
out.
That actor, man, he deserves an award for the best role ever. He plays that part so insanely well, and that's why I enjoy it.
I'll watch videos, like I'll watch when people post on Instagram or Facebook little snippets, or I'll watch, where they don't show the gory stuff, but they just show like a scene.
Right.
And I'm telling you, when he smiles or he has that grin, I'm like, oh, it's got the black.
It's truly terrifying.
You know, and just like that's a creepy character. That's enough for me. Yeah. But not as good. We definitely like our horror movies here and our music. That's for sure. We are going to wrap this up, Mr. Lawrence. So before we do, please tell our listeners how they can get your book, how they can follow you, anything you have planned for the future, like any future investigations that you might be coming up, anything you want to tell. It's yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can pick up Taylor Mill Horror on Amazon now. You can get the audiobook, the Kindle, the paperback, and all that good stuff. And you can actually follow me on Amazon and get ready for my next release, which should be coming out in within a month or two. And October 21st, we will be at the Tennessee Haunts and Legends Expo in Nashville, hosted by Eric Freeman. It's $10. It all goes to charity. It's going to be a huge event, the biggest one in Middle Tennessee. We're going to have a screening of our documentary, Phantom Farm, and I'll be on a couple panels there so you can ask questions and hang out. So really excited for that, and that's the big thing that I'm looking forward to right now. So if you're interested, you can check it out on Tennessee Haunts and Legends on Facebook, or you can check out the website.
Nice. Now, awesome. Yeah, I remember Eric saying that he put on that convention. I can remember. Yeah, I remember it was in October, but I couldn't remember the date. So that's so you said, well, October 21st on a Saturday?
Yep, October 21st.
Cool. Yep. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, sounds like you're a busy guy. You've got some good things coming up in the future for your paranormal and all that fun stuff. Austin, it's been a pleasure. I am so glad that we finally got to chat with you, and you had great, great stories.
Too.
I know the listeners are going to enjoy this very much. Yeah, we'll if you're interested, we'll have you back on again down the road, because I know you you'll have some future stories to share. So if you're wanting to come on in, we'll let you, you know, hang out with us again. Oh, what, Sean?
I have one.
Oh, absolutely.
I have one last thing to say to Austin, and definitely have you back. But I don't know if we here talk a lot about, we're all old wrestling fans, and one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Stone Cold Steve Austin. So your name makes me think of that. Austin 316 is, I know it's family friendly, but I just whooped your ass, basically. And I have to say, Austin Lawrence 316 would be, you just whooped this interview.
Nice.
And you definitely did.
Yeah, he was my favorite wrestler growing up. Him and The Undertaker.
I love it. Yeah.
I was at the match where Stone Cold turned on the WWF and went to the WCW.
Yeah.
And I was so upset. I went home and I burnt all my Austin 316.
Oh, no.
My room.
That's hilarious. I had an Austin 316 for sure. That's you know what? I think that's my favorite story. No, I'm just kidding. That's funny. Yeah, I have known to do stuff like that. I'm like, my team loses. I haven't done it in a long time because as I'm getting older, I mean, I take it serious as the game's going on, and then I pretty much get over it, you know. But I'll say I've matured a little bit. But, man, I've ripped up hats, shirts. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now I look back going, what the heck? No, that's cool. Yeah, Austin 316. So, Austin, thank you again, man. We had a great time. Like I said, I know that the listeners will enjoy this. Now, this will drop next week, so the 20th. Is when this drops. So,
okay.
Yeah, and then of course we, you know, post on social media. But man, we had a great time. So we'll have you back on again,
me
definitely.
Too.
All right,
absolutely.
Brother.
Absolutely. Just let me know.
All right, I'll let Nate and Sean say bye to you, and then we'll get out of here.
Bye, Austin. Thank you so much.
See ya. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. You guys have a good night.
Hey, you too. Have a great rest of the week too, brother. See ya.
Night, brother.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye. So there you go, creepies, Mr. Austin Lawrence, bringing the paranormal creepy stories for you. That was great.
I needed that.
I did too.
I honestly did.
I did too. The only problem is with him, he's doesn't do a podcast, and he's got a great voice. So I'm kind of mad at him.
And we could have gone for like another 2 hours.
He was good. He was good.
He does need to reconsider. He's going to be writing another book, which is awesome, and hopefully more after that. And then maybe he'll consider this whole podcast thing.
Another overachiever, and makes us look.
Are we bullying him though?
That's right. Is that, okay. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Let's check.
Inspiring.
Is that why we're
fine line
Inspire,
writing?
Bully. You know, whichever it works. Yeah.
It's all the same cloth.
Yeah. No, that was fun. He was a great guest chat, and we will have him on again. And
that's
I
right.
texted him. He said he would be honored to come on. So there you go, Austin Lawrence, and he's got another book coming out. Man. Really a slacker. So anyway, hope you enjoyed that guest chat, creepies. Sean.
Yes.
I'm going to guess for your whatever segment it's called. I'm going to go middle-aged moment.
It is middle-aged moment.
Ah, nice.
And it is a classic from Aladdin. I'm kidding.
I was ready to say cut his mic.
I am not going to stand for this.
This little moment.
What was that stupid song?
I can't even.
I don't know the lyrics. Or whatever. Or no.
All the Disney people are going to be like, what?
I can show you the world.
I can show you. I don't even know the lyrics.
I'll
show you. And I'm not looking them up. I'm kidding.
Okay.
It's a joke.
All right.
It is a middle-aged moment,
okay.
though. One of my favorites. This is a aside from the Eagles, Don Henley is well known as a solo artist as well. One of my favorites, truly of all kind. It is The End of Innocence.
I knew.
You're like, whoop.
Boys of Summer is where I was going.
No,
wait a minute. Maybe that's the name of. Do the lyrics and
I will.
I can't remember.
This I felt like with our talk tonight. This is something that I've had pulled up and been thinking about using. I heard it actually within this last couple weeks. And so I think this fits perfectly here. So remember when the days are long and roll beneath a deep blue sky. Didn't have a care in the world when it's mommy and daddy standing by. But happily ever after fails and we've been poisoned by these fairy tales. The lawyers dwell on small details since daddy had to fly. Oh, but I know a place where we can go, still untouched by men. We'll sit and watch the clouds roll by and the tall grass waves in the wind. You can lay your head back on the ground and let your hair fall all around me. Offer up your best defense, but this is the end. This is the end of the innocence. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Now these skies are threatening. They're beating plowshares into swords for this tired man that we elected king. I love that lyric, by the way. Armchair warriors often fail, and we've been poisoned by these fairy tales. The lawyers clean up all details since daddy had to lie. Oh, but I know a place where we can go and wash away this sin. Also a favorite one of mine. We'll sit and watch the clouds roll by and the tall grass wave in the wind. Just lay your head back on the ground and let your hair spill all around me. Offer up your best defense. This is the end of the innocence. Oh, who knows how long this will last. Now we have come so far so fast. But somewhere back there in the dust, that same small town in each of us, I need to remember this. So baby, give me just one kiss. And let me take a long last look before we say goodbye. Just lay your head down on the ground, or back on the ground, and let your hair fall all around me. Offer up your best defense. This is the end. This is the end of the innocence. Love it.
That was a good song.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But it is. He actually wrote, Don Henley wrote this about kind of the passing generation of the baby boomers and how they're all of that, you know, pomp and circumstance and hope and hey, we're going to make things wonderful. And it was just all kind of a big anticlimax and like thing. Crap is still, you know, going wrong and the world's still crazy and corrupt and we'll find out our, you know, all our heroes, duped us kind of feeling. But so it's kind of it's a sad song. And sometimes we feel that way, like the end of the innocence. And we're talking about that is so important, though, for us to talk mental health. And like I said, I needed this tonight. I needed the mental health talk. I really enjoyed listening to Austin with his stories and his experiences. But I think this is a good way to wrap it up with Don Henley. So he's very eclectic with his musical tastes. And so I hope he appreciates this one. I think he will.
He texted me and said he hates Don Henley.
Well, dang it. And the Eagles. Son of a gun.
So they're terrible. No, that's good.
So I'm going to switch to Rob Zombie.
Hell and, might freeze over.
Yeah.
I went to that tour in 1994 at when it used to be Deer Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a big Eagles fan back then. Oh, my gosh. That one concert. I'm like, I'm in.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They sound like there was a CD, perfect harmony on there. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It was
great. We're doing Rob Zombie Dracula then. That's what we're going to. Yeah. We'll edit
that
in.
Not bad. No, that was good. That was good. That was good. Thank you for that.
No problem.
What else you got? Second announcements.
I do have the second part of the announcements. You can follow us on social media, all of our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of cool merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us. Get your name mentioned and or business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Gracias.
De nada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Donatos. I don't want Donatos.
Donatos. Oh. Now I'm hungry.
Well, thank you for that, Sean. Mm-hmm. Mr. Nate, my man to the right, what do you got for us?
That's a wrap, and that's the bottom line, because Nathan Lauk said so.
Whoa. That's
some Austin. I can Steve Austin, baby.
I can feel him trembling. I like that one. That might be one of my favorite ones.
I like that, too.
Thank you for that, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 132 in our fun guest chat with Mr. Austin Lawrence. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer,
And we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.